Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and I'm so excited to be joining you again this evening on Transparency in Christ. Our topic this evening is what a man wants and what a man needs. And I'm so excited about this topic because so often we get questions and comments about, from the brothers actually, about them needing respect. Their wives are being disrespectful. Some of those are some of the comments that we get. So we want to know tonight, what are men looking for? It's funny, I was watching an episode of Mary Mary last night, and my sister in Christ was talking about some of the issues that she's dealing with in her marriage, which would be infidelity. And I found my heart just aching for her as she started questioning herself, started questioning some of her abilities as far as, am I doing what you ask? Am I enough? Some of those questions. So sometimes that's important. That's important for us to know from our spouses, what exactly are you looking for? What do you need? Especially for wives to know what a husband is looking for. Also, could be some single sisters out there listening tonight, and they're believing God to be married. What does your husband need? What is he looking for? Tonight we are going to talk about it with our special guest. Well, I don't know about you, but it's been a rough week for me. I'm glad that the end of the work week is here. So I thought we'd just celebrate that. So God is just so faithful for bringing us through this week, despite whatever challenges, despite whatever situations that we may be going through in our marriages, in our work life, with our friends, with our family. God is still able to perform each and everything that he said his word was able to do. So with that being said, I want to play a song tonight just to encourage you, and then I'll introduce my special guest for the evening. Let's go ahead and listen to Still Able by Jane Fortune and Faya. Enjoy.
Many times in life, we focus on all that we don't have, and it makes us worry. But today, I want to remind you of the one that you do have, and let you know that he's still able.
I've been hurt and abused, even lied to by the ones I trust in most. I've had some nights I cried more than I prayed. That's when God said to me, I am still.
And so,
now the worry is over,
yes.
And the doubt is gone away. God reminded me,
he reminded me
that he's still able. God reminded me
that in spite of it all,
that he's still able.
Thank you, Lord. Question.
I'm afraid to carry this hurt all alone.
Today, more than ever,
I need your help, Lord. With you, I can move on. Now the worry is over, and the doubt is gone away.
You're not alone.
Amen. God is still able. He is still able. Welcome back to Transparency of Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and again, so excited that you're joining us this evening for our special topic, What a Man Wants, What a Man Needs. Our broadcast tonight is sponsored by D&D Wilson Montevita Coffee, the coffee that pays. What is the last time you got paid for drinking coffee? Check them out. If you want to know more information, visit dndwilson.biz for more info. Well, our topic tonight, what a man wants, what a maid needs, inquiring minds want to know. I want to know as a married wife. I'm sure there's some single ladies or single women out, single men out there that have some ideas in their minds about what they're actually looking for in a wife, what they're looking for in a mate, those of you that may be single, or maybe some men out there that are saying, listen, my wife just doesn't understand. I want to welcome my special guest for tonight, Mr. Donovan S. West, relationship guru. Welcome, brother. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. So excited that you're joining me tonight to talk about this topic.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. All right. Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime. Well, I know I posed this question to you when I sent you the email, Mr. Donovan. And I don't know. It really is a hot topic right now as to what a man is looking for, what they need. Am I enough? I don't know. So I wanted to turn the mic over to you. What do you think, Mr. Donovan? What do you think? And what better person to tell me what you're looking for than a man?
Right. I'm glad at least you started with that because, you know, a lot of people do make the mistake of, you know, the guests that they have on. And you know, I'm not disrespecting other professionals, of course, that are out there, you know, female persuasion that are, you know, that have very good information to share and a perspective to share. But I definitely agree that, you know, a man should know. But it's less of a personal perspective also. You know, it's about, you know, having some experience, having, you know, interacted and, you know, whether it's through counseling sessions, whether it's through, you know, group sessions, you know, with other fellas as we talk about, you know, the different challenges we have or things that we have in common in terms of issues or concerns where the relationship, you know, comes into play. You know, it definitely does, you know, paint the picture through a different kind of on a different type of canvas, if you understand what I mean. So
absolutely.
So in terms of the topic, when you first reached out to me, I said, wow, I was flooded with so many thoughts, you know, in terms of, you know, how best to answer, how best to respond or put it in certain context. And the first thing I have to do is I have to say that, you know, there's a stereotype of, you know, what men want or who men are. And I think the number one thing to do, if I were to put a number to it, I would say it's number zero. Before you even get started, you have to shatter the stereotypes that you have in mind of men. You know, one, in terms of managing expectations, it's extremely hard to manage expectations because 9 out of 10 times you're really already, you have an expectation that's kind of dark. It's limited. And if you really want, you know, an exceptional experience, then you have to start thinking in a manner that allows for that to happen. And most times, you know, what I understand in terms of what I've received in terms of conversations and emails and all types of other dialogue, there seems to be just an overwhelming sense of, okay, all men are like this. And so what I would say the first step is to make sure that you check yourself. You know, check, what are your beliefs about men and their capacity or abilities, and how does that shape your expectations? Because, you know, Henry Ford said it best. He said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. You know, it speaks volumes because most times we approach relationships, we approach that person of interest already with a sense of, you know, what you think their abilities are, what you think most likely they are before you even meet them. And it goes further than saying, okay, my gut feeling about this person. You have some overall thoughts, you know, all men are this or blah, blah, blah. They tend to, you don't know that individual. So the first thing is to kind of, you know, have that conversation with yourself and really be prepared to address what you see as being, you know, glaring stereotypes, because that guides how you interact with that man. That's the first thing. Second thing, you know, we've used this term before, right? Seek first to understand,
mm-hmm.
and then, right? So seeking first to understand, it's the highest form of respect. It's also the hardest discipline. We are self-serving, you know, preservation always comes to mind, and that's a challenge. So you need to understand what kind of man you're dealing with. You know, men are not as simple as, you know, the stereotype affords us in terms of, you know, these basic images of, you know, what we think a man is, and, you know, there are different types of men, different types of communication styles, different types of love languages. So first thing you've got to do is you got to seek to understand the person that you're interested in or that you're in a relationship with, and understand what their communication style is, what their love language is. And, you know, when I say communication style is, you know, you have four classic communication styles, like, you know, someone who's passive, someone who's aggressive, passive-aggressive, or someone who's assertive. So that also guides how you communicate with them, because, again, when you start talking about what a man wants and needs, well, you know, one man may appreciate an assertive communication style versus another who may appreciate something that's a little bit, you know, more passive. And once you understand your audience, then it helps you to communicate more effectively, whether it's your feelings or, you know, whether it is certain ideas. And that goes a long way also to a man, because when a man knows he has a good woman, it's part of what kicks into place is the fact that he knows that she understands him. And the better you're able to establish that you do understand your man, the better the chances are that you'll be able to communicate more effectively, and you're giving him, you know, one of the things that he wants, which is he wants to be understood. Okay?
So, Mr. Donovan.
Well, I'm sorry, yeah?
That was a mouthful.
That's just the beginning, right?
That's just the tip of the iceberg, because I think one of the main things that you hit on, you talked about shattering the stereotypes of men. We all come with preconceived notions just based on our past experiences. Based on our past experiences, okay, I think that you're going to hurt me, or I think that you're going to cheat on me. I think that you're a dog. You know, all of those conceptions, again, come from based on those experiences. Like you said, you got to have a conversation with yourself. They need whoever you may be dealing with. It could be your husband right now. If you're in a married relationship, again, you're still coming with some of those preconceived notions, especially, again, if you've been in relationships with people prior to you getting married. So you have to start them off, like you said, with a clean slate. Can I start off with a clean slate? Can I get, I always talk about on the show, Mr. Donovan, can I get some mercy? Can I get some grace? So I think that's just, that's a big thing right there. Just a big thing.
Absolutely. I mean, there are some other items, of course, you know, loyalty, respect, you know, we know those things. But what most people don't necessarily talk about is why, you know. You know, loyalty is extremely important, because at the end of the day, there's nothing like, you know, feeling very comfortable with the fact that, you know, you're in something that's committed, that someone identified you and wants to be with you and is, you know, committed to be with you. And so with that understanding, now it increases the level of responsibility and accountability on the man's end to go ahead and step up to the plate. So, you know, often you hear so much about the man's role and how he should be this and that. Well, you're absolutely right in terms of a man being a man, but he can't really be a man if he doesn't necessarily feel that he's in a position or a space where he should be a man. And loyalty becomes one of those key components of qualifying the situation, qualifying the arrangement, the environment where he has to, you know, basically be 110% accountable. Why? Because the woman in that situation now has demonstrated some level of loyalty and commitment Now we also talk about respect. You know, respect is extremely important because, you know, respect usually is a word that gets thrown around when we start talking about, you know, men and women's roles in a relationship and how a man, you know, needs to feel like, you know, he's in control, so to speak. And then we throw around that term, you know, that we expect of women, that ugly word. You know, I hope no one changes the channel, so to speak, when I say it, but the word is obedience. And so with that being said, you know, obedience now becomes a tricky kind of situation because, you know, you're talking about, you know, obviously there needs to be some kind of role where someone is the leader, someone is the senior, so to speak, in that situation. And a man being able to function in that capacity, it's extremely important to him, not only just for the sake of, you know, being in a leadership role, but more importantly, again, instilling a level of confidence in him, allowing him to step up and be, you know, again, more assertive, accountable, and aware of all of his strengths and the fact that he has to utilize it not only for his sake, but for the sake of the relationship. So there's a lot more, but, you know, those are just a couple of things that a man needs. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a conversation because a man isn't – you can't just come up with a laundry list and say, okay, I was on you know, I was on the internet and I saw this article, or I was on the radio listening to the radio and I heard these things, and so now I know what a man wants. Again, I have to just caution. You have to tune in to your man. You know, it can be a combination of these things, or sometimes it may be a lot simpler depending on who you're dealing with. But you first need to tune into your audience before you, you know, you apply some of these, you know, some of these characteristics or situations to your situation.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I talk about it all the time on the show. It's important to know your mate. It's important to study them. You know, and I think, like you said, that comes along with communication, but that also comes along with spending time with your mate. How can you get to know somebody if you don't spend time with them? You know, I need to know, what is your favorite color? What's your favorite thing to drink? What's your favorite food? You know, sometimes we have to go back to basics. You know, as husbands, as wives, as single men and ladies out there, you know, with a desire in their hearts to be married. Sometimes you got to go back to basics. I need to study you. I need to find out, like you said, what are those characteristics? What am I working with? I don't know. So, like you said, I really believe with that in mind, you talked about really getting to know your mate. As far as some of the things, maybe a combination of things could be one thing. I really believe in my heart of hearts, one of those main things every man is looking for is respect. And you talked about knowing your role and it being a tricky situation. What do you think, Donovan, about women in leadership roles on a job and then they have to transition to home
and
letting the man lead?
Well, again, it goes back to, you know, you mentioned a key word, and that is at the job. You know, you're in a leadership role at the job. That's fine. You know, can you be at a leadership role at home? Absolutely. However, if the role that you have at home is a little different where, again, the man may be, you know, he's the leader, or he may be the senior, should I say, may have the last call on certain topics, or, you know, pertaining to the operation, you know, at home, then, you know, that makes a lot of sense that you start to think twice about some of the things that you may do, you know, in terms of how you communicate and how you, you know, arrive at certain decisions. I don't think that there's a problem at all in terms of understanding the role, I guess how it may change or develop further when you start thinking about your situation at home. I think the number one thing to really consider is, you know, what are the things that actually become a little different in terms of, you know, what you do at home and or how you communicate? We're very clear in terms of how you should communicate if you're in a management position or, you know, you're the CEO. You know, you got to be extremely clear. You have to, you know, again, you're introducing, reintroducing, getting to levels of mastery in terms of how you, you know, you guide your staff or how you share a certain kind of vision, as opposed to, you know, in that relationship, you might actually be in a different kind of, you know, arrangement where perhaps you're doing more listening, or you're actually functioning in a manner where you're, you know, you're responding to, you know, his you know, suggestions, or carrying out your part, your role in the overall vision, you know, at home. I think it's tough because at the end of the day, it's a conversation that is really about exposing levels of vulnerabilities, of some challenges that you may have for both the man and the woman. You know, a man will definitely feel some kind of way about the fact that his wife, girlfriend, may earn more money or work in a position that is way, you know, more, I guess, affluent or at a higher grade, pay grade. And because of that, you know, he may have some unresolved issues that he needs to address to his wife or girlfriend, and they need to work it out. You know, she may need to, you know, figure out a way to express how she's having some challenges now at home because at work she's in a different role, in a different capacity, and they need to talk about that. They need to not just talk about the fact that they have a problem, but why, and get to what I would call a feeling conversation so that they can get to the core issue, not necessarily just talk about what they have a problem with, but why they have a problem with it so they can work through it and through that conversation now expose where there's some challenges, make it more transparent. And again, once you do that, your mate is responsible and more accountable to creating the kind of environment where y'all both can, you know, can exist. So a leader at work, that's fine. You know, if you have a different role at home, again, have the conversation. Talk about, you know, the differences. You know, sometimes it also helps if you're a woman that's in that leadership role. Sometimes it helps if your boyfriend, husband, father is able to actually see you in that workplace and have a greater, you know, respect for how you are workplace, and perhaps it opens up an opportunity for you to have even a more customized role, something that's a little bit more geared to some of your additional strengths, you know, in the house.
You know, Donovan, you were talking about still with the topic of respect and knowing your role. You know, I always tell my kids, stay in your lane, especially when they speak out of turn to me or my husband. You know, they act as if they're in control, okay? But I want to talk a little bit, when we come back from break, I want to talk about, in your experience, again, with you having counseled couples, in your experience, can you give us some examples of disrespect and some examples of how we as women can show that we respect our husbands? Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Fantastic. All right, how about we go ahead and we'll take a quick break. And again, always like to play music just to encourage those that may be listening in out there. I want to play, because sometimes we just need to bring things before the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and play Put It on the Altar by Jessica Reedy. Enjoy.
Hey, let me hear you say it.
Yeah.
All of your burdens, bring them all down, yeah.
being sick, you need relief. You're tired of the pressure.
Yeah.
You got all the stress and you need some peace. Come on and get your breakthrough. Haven't you been suffering long enough? Make your way down to the altar. Hand it over, leave it there. It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
It's gonna be alright.
Are you and your husband growing apart and you don't know what to do? Have you tried to talk to your single friends, but they just can't relate? Are you looking for godly advice? Come and join Talisha Miller and the Wives Support Group, We Lift As We Climb, at Christian Talk Therapy on the 2nd and 4th Thursdays of the month, beginning April 10th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 29 Bala Avenue, Bala Cynwyd, PA, or join us virtually. This is a true support group, and everything is kept confidential. For more information, call 215-375-7879, extension 77, or visit www.christiantalktherapy.com. Still in the business of healing you and restoring your marriage. Don't give up.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and our topic for tonight is What a Man Wants and What a Man Needs. Our broadcast tonight is brought to you by D&D Wilson, Montevita Coffee, the coffee that pays. When was the last time you got paid for drinking coffee? Check them out at www.dndwilson.biz. I want to welcome back my guest tonight, Mr. Donovan S. West, Relationship Guru. Welcome back, Donovan.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You are more than welcome. Well, I know, Mr. Donovan, before we went to break, I left you with a little homework or a question to answer. What are some questions? What are some things that we can do as wives to show respect to our husband? And my second question was, what are some examples in your experience of how we disrespect our husband? So, whichever one you want to start with first, I'm fine with.
Okay, well, let's talk about disrespect, right? You know, disrespect is it's one of those, you know, subjective terms because, again, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, you know, we talk about, you know, understanding your mate. And the first thing you have to do is understand their definition of what disrespect is. And, you know, again, we're all individuals. There are certain things that may constitute disrespect in your husband's, you know, world versus someone else's. So the first thing, again, is to tune in. You have to tune into your mate and have that discussion about what are some of the things that, you know, that have happened to them in the past that have been disrespectful or what their definition of disrespect is, because there are some nuances to disrespect in itself that you should be sensitive to as it relates to your relationship. But some general forms of disrespect are, you know, again, not showing loyalty. You know, if you seem to be someone who is not showing loyalty to your husband, to your mate, that's a huge sign of disrespect. Lack of communication, you know, not talking about what your plans are, or, again, if you did have plans and breaking them, that's another form of disrespect. Not functioning in a way that is overall, transparent. You know, again, acting as if you have a whole nother life, and, you know, he just happens to be a person that, functions, once in a while in it. That's very disrespectful. Language, you know, your tone of voice. These are other forms of disrespect, you know. Cursing, of course, in a manner that, you know, is disrespectful. Name calling or belittling. Those are, of course, you know, some obvious forms of disrespect. But, you know, again, another form of disrespect is anything you know antagonizes your mate that you intentionally do, okay? So, again, once you have the conversation, be prepared to now be 110% accountable, because from the time that you're aware of what, different forms of disrespect can occur, once you start with that, then it'll be pretty clear that, you know, you were intentional in that. Now, in terms of, you know, how you show respect, obviously, you know, it can be, you know, the opposite of everything I mentioned. But, you know, being more transparent, communicating more effectively, working as a team. You know, a lot of times, you know, women who have been single for a very long time, you know, it's very hard to go through what I would call that conversion period. You know, that's the period in time when you start to think about, you know, how do you incorporate both of your interests? How do you incorporate both of your perspectives when you're making certain decisions? These are extremely important components of a relationship that not only, you know, are the building blocks of a solid, you know, relationship, but more importantly, these are other ways that you can demonstrate respect for your significant other. I hope I was able to answer that, you know, concisely.
All good examples. You know, it's funny because a lot of those things that you mentioned, I took a look at Proverbs 31, how his mother tells him all of the things that he should be looking for in a wife. And those were some of the things that I mentioned on the promo for the show. I believe men are looking for trust. I believe you're looking for respect. You're looking for that caringness. You're looking for devotion. Like you said, loyalty. You're looking for somebody to show you concern, strength, enthusiasm, wisdom, kindness. But most of all, love, you know, and it talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13, which is what we've been studying for the past couple of months in the wives group. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. Love doesn't antagonize. All of those things that you mentioned is in the Word of God. It's in 1 Corinthians 13, all right there, all of those things that we should be, all of those things that we should do to show love to our spouse is in 1 Corinthians 13. Go ahead, Don.
No, absolutely. And there's one thing I would just add to that, and that is, you know, we as individuals, we get caught up in what I would call contract love versus covenant love. Mm. And that's it's something that we really all need to be very conscious of, because, you know, a lot of times we do this whole quid pro quo. If I do these things, will you now do X, Y, and Z? Well, the reality of it is that if you truly are in love, you know, with your significant other, then you need to not necessarily be so concerned about what am I going to get back, but instead focus your energy on your understanding and hopefully eventual mastery of your mate's love language, and then, of course, your mastery of how you demonstrate it. And then, of course, conversely, your mate will do the same. So, again, stay focused on the prize. The prize is you know, I by way of my love, am demonstrating it by showing how much I understand my mate. And the way that I'll do that is through these deeds, these acts, you know, these words. You know, you mentioned a lot of, in terms of, you know, enthusiasm, you know, having pride in your mate, you know, just a simple thing, just simple thing as smiling at your mate, just smile. A lot of times, you know, you get caught up and the honeymoon is over, but why? Why is it over? Because you gave it 2 weeks when it should be infinity. So again, the thought is that, you know, you have to, you know, change the game, so to speak. You know, you have to, as they say, you know, enlarge your territory when it comes to the love of your mate. And by doing so, there are some sacrifices. But you, again, you have to be faithful to the notion that, you know, you'll get yours. It'll come back to you. But you first have to be the example and not necessarily just think of yourself as a catalyst.
You know, it's funny, Donovan, when we were mentioning all those things that a man wants, something popped into my head about, you know, just not only the emotional aspect, but the physical aspect of it, and not necessarily sex. When I typed one of those comments that I put, what a man wants, I typed organization, you know, and again, that's just based on my experience and some of the women that I counseled as well. My husband, he likes a clean house. There has to be some type of organization going on. Now, granted, I may not be the best clean house person, but we try and make sure that everything is in its space. Otherwise, he can't function. He can't function. Again, I think that goes along with me knowing what my spouse needs. He needs organization. What do you think about that? Do you think men want a clean house? Do I have to cook? Do I have to make biscuits, Donovan?
No, you don't have to. I think, again, it goes right back to when you know your mate. You know, your mate may want you to actually have, you know, more of an organizational touch than, you know, a touch in the kitchen, you know. And you're right. It's not about necessarily just, you know, from a sexual standpoint. The physical does deal with what are the things that you do day in and day out to demonstrate how well you do, you know, you know your husband, your boyfriend, that significant other. Also, you know, we talked about, you know, just, you know, a man and his need to feel needed, you know,
right.
Because it goes down to that core sense of, you know, a man needs to feel relevant. He needs
exactly.
to feel like he's an essential component to the existence of his relationship, of his household overall. And, you know, when you get into that super independent, I can do all things, you know, and I don't really need you kind of thing, then, you know, again, you got to know that you're at the source of why you may be perhaps, you know, still single or why your relationship may be at a point of contention. So, again, the bottom line is, yes, you know, by way of knowing your significant other, you'll know what are the components that you really need to embody and your day in, day out activities to mm-hmm. further support the relationship and further, you know, demonstrate your love for them.
You know, it's you know, we were talking about earlier today, we're talking about roles, how women at the office, we have a leadership role, and we need to be able to switch it on and switch it off when we come into the home. Because like you said, that man needs to feel needed. That was one of my issues. Not so far as showing disrespect, but as far as making my husband feel needed. Because, listen, I can accomplish whatever I need to accomplish at the job. I'm a self-starter. Do I really need anybody? No. I just go ahead and do what I need to do in order to get the job done. At home, my husband needed to feel needed. So, you know, let's say it was things that I needed. Let's say if it was something that I wanted. I don't know. Let's say a purse. Okay. I would go and buy the purse myself. I wouldn't mention it to my husband. You know, I really like this purse. You know, I think I really want to buy this purse. But I would never tell my husband those things that I need. And I think that goes along, again, with knowing your spouse and communicating effectively. How can I possibly expect him to know what I need? How can I actually expect to know what he needs unless we have some dialogue about them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, Gary Chapman, you know, he talks about the love language. And you know, sometimes, you know, it's important to, you know, to tune into the love language in all situations, you know, that you may interact with your significant other. And one of those love languages, you know, is you know, the purchasing of gifts. And sometimes, you know, again, while you may say to yourself, well, let me just go ahead and purchase this, perhaps letting him do it will make him feel more engaged, you know, make him feel a part of, you know, what's happening with you. And the more independent you are, again, the more you isolate yourself, which is detrimental to your relationship. So you're exactly right in terms of, you know, looking at yourself, reflecting and saying, what can I do a little differently now that I understand my mate a little bit more? Then, you know, let me demonstrate that by way of changing some of the things that I may do day in and day out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that comes along with any relationship. And just us growing as individuals, we have to be a little bit flexible. Some people are just stuck. They're just stuck in that mold, again, based upon preconceived notions, based upon some of those things that they've experienced. Listen, this is what I believe. This is the way it should be. Where sometimes we got to be a little flexible. We have to be a little flexible. Maybe my role is a little bit different. Maybe I'm not the one that cleans the house. Maybe my husband is the one that cleans the house, and I'm the one that does the laundry. Maybe it's a little bit different. So I
think
we have to be a little bit flexible.
You know, you have to, you know, again, the biggest challenge that most people face is that we take a prescriptive and not a reflective approach towards our relationship. We walk into it with all these, you know, preconceived assumptions, you know, all these assumptions about what we, you know, what we think that person wants or likes. And again, if you're so stuck on, you know, and you have these convictions in terms of what your role should be and how you should function, then by all means, you know, you can conduct your search, I guess, with the understanding that I'm looking for a specific individual who can flow this kind of way. But what you said to me earlier and to the audience is very encouraging, and I would, you know, focus on that if I was, you know, someone in the audience who's looking for a different approach, and that is to be flexible. You know, you do have to negotiate. You don't have to compromise. There's a difference. Negotiating
right.
is about, again, you know, you can move some things around, you know, certain, you know, out of 10 things that you would normally do, maybe you're doing 6 or 5. You know, compromise in many ways, to me, it speaks to the quality of something or to, you know, really moving one of those things that I would say is a pillar of your belief system, and you don't necessarily have to do that. But, you know, we all have a list, don't we? We all have a, you know, a sense of what are the things that we expect from, you know, from those persons of interest and the things that we expect in terms of our role to do in that relationship from an ideal standpoint. But then when rubber meets the road and you're actually engaged in that relationship, you have to function with a sense of deference to you know, what it is that you have and the value of it, right, and why there may be a need to now make some adjustments. Because if you can respect that, the fact that it's unique, the fact that this is something that you can build on, then you'll be in a good place. Because remember, ultimately, you're always changing. That individual is changing. So even if you were to have your list completed and have this ideal person in front of you, one thing that's inevitable is that they will change. So there is a change index within you and also within your mate. So you need to just look at what are those core components of who you are and what they are and who they are so that you can, you know, you can function with that and communicate through the rest.
I agree. I just want to welcome anybody that may be joining the conversation to Transparency in Christ tonight. We're talking about what a man wants and what a man's needs are. And I have my guest with me tonight, Mr. Donovan S. West, Relationship Guru. And it looks like we have a little chat going online. California Living, who's actually a man. He joins us just about every week. Again, welcome back, brother. He's chatting online about what a man's needs are. He says a man wants to be a solid provider. And he said, as God made a man to provide for all his family in all areas. And he said, that's ingrained in a man's DNA. And I mentioned to him, what if your wife makes more money? And he said, if she makes more money, thank God. Thank God for it. But,
well, again, that's a good point. You know, provider, again, you know, there's all kinds of provider. You know, you can be a physical provider in terms of making sure that, you know, the health and well-being of your spouse, of your family is all in place. You can be the spiritual provider in terms of making sure that, you know, you can lead Bible study. You can make sure that everyone gets to church. You can make sure that everyone, you know, that the kids are saying their prayer, that they're reflecting, that, you know, that perhaps you're able to follow up on what, you know, what was preached in church in terms of making sure that it's just not an event, but it's something that they stay engaged in. You know, you can talk about the, you know, other provisions that are necessary in the house in terms of, you know, tasks and deeds. And of course, when we think of provider, automatically we're thinking about bring home that check, you know, make sure that all the bills are paid and all that other good stuff. But, you know, the reality of it is that you have situations where women are earning more. You have situations where, again, when you start talking about the high rate of unemployment, high rates of individuals who may have criminal backgrounds and other things that may impede their ability to actually earn, you know, standing wages, you're talking about more of a reality that it's not necessarily 85 or 90% men earning more than a woman. You have a higher percentage chance where there might be some parity when it comes to the household. So, yes, you got to be more flexible in terms of the interpretation of providing for the family and understand that there are many things that a man can provide besides just, you know, that check and be relevant, you know, be a person that's needed and essential to the overall, you know, operation of the household and get those other needs met in terms of, you know, respect, relevance, feeling trusted, you know, being held accountable so that he must be dependable in all things that he does in the house and outside the house. And when you're able to do those things, I think at the end of the day, you know, you have a really good recipe for a successful relationship.
I agree. And I think, you know, I think, Donovan, you circle back around to, again, one of those main components that men need. You need to feel needed. You need to feel that you're essential. You know, and I think that comes along, again, back to the Word of God, the two become one. The two become one. You know, we're one, so you are essential to me. And I think we as wives, I think we need to do a better job in making our men feel needed, making them feel wanted, especially when you're in that predicament where you do make more money than your husband. Making them feel needed, making them feel wanted, making them feel as though they do add value to our household. You are the spiritual head. You are, you know, baby, you provide me with advice. You provide me with security. We need to let them know that. I think we need to do a better job with being vocal about that, you know?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you got the short list and, you know, some details behind things that men want. Of course, you know, men want, you know, the physical, you know, let's not dance around that. Absolutely. They want, it's not just about sex, but also more importantly, it's about them feeling desired, you know. And I remember in one of the groups that we, you know, we facilitated, you know, we talked about the difference between, you know, a woman that would not deny her man, you know, in his sexual advances. And then there's a woman that would, you know, once in a while, you know, approach her man or, you know, satisfy him in that manner. And then you had the other situation where you have the woman that desires her man. And that, again, becomes, you know, what is most, you know, what's most desired overall, you know, pun intended, is when you have a man who feels like, you know what, you know, that he's desired by his wife, his girlfriend, his significant other. You know, that's extremely important. It becomes less of, you know, again, a deed or a chore and more of something that becomes the intangible that helps to keep them focused. You know, when you start talking about fidelity, you know, part of that is that a man not only needs to feel relevant as it relates to operations, but also from, you know, a very interpersonal sense. They, you know, that there's something about them that is intrinsic to, you know, the desire that a woman may feel. And so that's extremely important and something that, you know, again, I think everyone needs to, you know, they need to be able to discuss it. You know, not necessarily
Amen.
Treat it like a taboo, you know, topic.
And you know what, brother? It's funny because one of my guests online, he's talking about the physical aspect of what a man needs, sex. A man needs sex, needs to feel that connection with his wife. So when we come back, I'm going to go ahead and take a break again. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that for us, about what a man wants as far as sexually for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, because this is real talk. It's called Transparency in Christ. We need to be transparent out there, and inquiring minds want to know, how can we do this thing right according to the Word of God? So
that's right. We all didn't get here immaculately. All right, only one did, and it hasn't happened since.
Hello, yes, that did not happen by immaculate conception. You are right about that. Well,
okay.
With that being said, how about we go ahead and take a break? And I am going to play I think I'm going to play tonight for my brothers in Christ, Hearing Our Praise by United Tenors. Enjoy.
Save in this place, I need it all to me. I feel the love of the same. Do you drink coffee, tea, or hot chocolate at least occasionally? How do you like your coffee, black or with cream and sugar? Do you have a favorite brand of coffee? When was the last time your favorite brand sent you a check for drinking their coffee? For a free sample of Organo Gold, contact DND Wilson at dndwilson.biz with your name and address, or visit www.dndwilson.biz. DND Wilson Organo Gold are proud sponsors of Transparency in Christ Radio.
Are you and your husband growing apart and you don't know what to do? Have you tried to talk to your single friends, but they just can't relate? Are you looking for godly advice? Come and join Talisha Miller and the Wives Support Group, We Lift As We Climb, at Christian Talk Therapy on the second and fourth Thursdays of the month, beginning April 10th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 29 Bala Avenue, Bala Cynwyd, PA, or join us virtually. This is a true support group, and everything is kept confidential. For more information, call 215-375-7879, extension 77, or visit www.christiantalktherapy.com. God is still in the business of healing you and restoring your marriage. Don't give up.
Welcome back to Transparency in Christ, where we talk about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. My name is Talisha Miller, and our topic for tonight is what a man wants, what a man needs. And our broadcast tonight is sponsored by D&D Wilson Montevita Coffee, the coffee that pays. When was the last time you got paid for drinking coffee? Check them out at www.dndwilson.biz for more information. Well, Mr. Donovan, I want to welcome back our guest for tonight, Donovan S. West, Relationship Guru. Welcome back, Mr. Donovan.
Thank you.
Now, we left off, and it's getting spicy online in our chat window. So for those of you that may be listening in, check us out. If you want to comment or if you have any questions, dial in at 602-753-1830. And again, that number is 602-753-1830. Or you can check us out at blogtalkradio.com. Search for Transparency in Christ. And we have a nice little chat window going on online as well. Where you can share.
You know what that means? You might have to do a part two to this. Oh, no.
Right, yes, who knew, right? Who knew? You can share it with any questions or comments that you may have. Now, my friend, California Living, he's giving us some tips, Mr. Donovan. I know we left off about what a man needs physically. They need that intimacy. And we're talking about the act of sex. Men need that. Our husbands need that. Now, we have to go about it a certain way. There's, you know, do they need that conversation, Mr. Donovan? Do they need for me to swing from a chandelier?
You bring up a good topic, and that is, you know, real simple. How do you like it, right? Well, what turns you on? What are your turnoffs? You know, what are the things that, you know, again, that make your toes curl as opposed to someone else? You know, don't make any assumptions. Have the conversation. Of course, it may be awkward, but guess what? After that conversation, it's all good, and it will be literally all good. If you approach that situation again with the sense of what can I do to please him, then you'll be great, you know, and then vice versa. I'm sure that, you know, he will be more than inspired to return the favor, you know, and understand that at the end of the day, you should have that conversation with a level of detail, knowing that the more detail that you receive, the more detail that you provide, the better off you both will be. And at the end of the day, it's not about how awkward the conversation can be. You're talking about getting to, you know, another level of intimacy with the one that you love. And that should be something in itself that should be more than just physically rewarding, but, you know, emotionally rewarding, spiritually rewarding, when you know that really you're going to a place that no one perhaps can go. And I mean that because, again, as you evolve, as we get more mature, as we understand ourselves, get to know ourselves more, well, things change. Our needs change. You know, what we like change, what we love change. So it's good to have that conversation, that initial conversation especially, because once you know, break the ice, so to speak, you're able to now feel more comfortable with, you know, terms of, you know, maybe you're curious about something. Maybe, you know, there's something that, you know, again, something that you heard about, something that you read somewhere. And you don't want to feel, you know, that you cannot have that freedom to have that kind of conversation to bring that home. Because, again, if you don't bring it home, then you're going to bring it somewhere. And these things are not just about, you know, keeping him happy, but also, you know, keeping him home. You know, you don't want that. You don't want that curiosity to just become overwhelming to the point where someone else who may represent those types of interests or answers to those questions all of a sudden now becomes, you know, are able to get some of their mind share, and then what may also grow to be perhaps, you know, some form of desire. So again, you know, in the interest of being that complete mate, that complete lover, you know, have the conversation, you know, and have some fun. One of the things men also like is they like diversity, you know, so that doesn't mean you have to, you know, you're not bringing home, you know, someone and all that craziness. No, we're not talking about going extreme. We're talking about you yourself perhaps, you know, changing the overall way that you may approach the situation, changing your energy sometimes. Maybe it's a surprise. Maybe it's just something different. And again, you know, feeling more inhibited, it doesn't help. So you want to, you know, you want to let loose a little bit and feel comfortable and try to provide, you know, different looks, if you will, and not be, you know, constrained by what you might think is most prudent or appropriate, and venture out a little bit, but also venture within what they see as something that may be more alluring or attractive. You know, we've all heard of, you know, of being a lady out there, right? But at home,
right,
being something else. Well,
amen.
Yeah, that's it. It's good girl. It's not good girl versus bad girl, by the way. No, it's good girl and bad girl. You need to be both.
Amen.
I hope I cleared the air on that one.
Yes.
All right.
You can't make it any plainer. I think California Living is making it a little bit plainer online. He's giving us some suggestions. And sometimes we need a little suggestion. So some of his suggestions were, ladies out there, if your man likes you to dress up. Put on a brand new outfit for him. Look good for him, whether it's clothes that you're going to wear to the office, or maybe it's your nighttime clothes. Your nighttime clothes, okay? Maybe he likes the little teddy. Maybe he likes a garter belt. Maybe he likes you with nothing on. Again, like Mr. Donovan said, a conversation you need to have with your husband. Maybe he likes rap music playing when you guys make love. Maybe he likes, I don't know, Luther Vandross or Teddy Pendergrass. Whatever it may be, you need to have that conversation with your husband, and don't be afraid to try different things. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to try different things. Now, I do have a message from someone online, Mr. Donovan, speaking of intimacy, because I think a lot of times we need to feel free. We need to feel comfortable with our spouses. Because sometimes, you know, do I make love with the lights on? Do I make love with the lights off? You know what I mean? So I may not be comfortable with myself. We have a message from someone online. They're saying, what can a wife do when her husband has such a huge focus on outward appearance that he becomes distant, he becomes distant and intimacy is lost, outward appearance being weight gain? What would you suggest, Mr. Client? Mr. Donovan, what's your suggestion?
Well, there's a couple of things to approach. I mean, of course, you know, I always look for the context, you know, in terms of the question being asked. You know, often in a relationship, you know, the woman may gain some weight. You know, she had a child or two and didn't bounce back, you know, to that original shape. I think sometimes, you know, it comes down to some conversation, but also a lot of action. I think it also, you know, there's a double standard that does exist where a man may gain weight and, you know, to some extent it may be seen as permissible or acceptable, versus when a woman gains weight and, you know, there's this great deal of pressure for her to get back in shape. I think that pressure should be equal. I think that, you know, both the man and woman, they need to always be dating each other in a sense of, you know, when you were concerned about, you know, getting to her, when getting with her or getting with him, you know, there was things that you wore, you know, the way that you dressed, the way that you carried yourself, how you maintain yourself. You know, you owe it to your mate to be as close to that or better as life goes on. Of course, there are special situations where, you know, medical conditions and things of the nature, you know, those are exceptions that I'm not speaking to. But, you know, as you are in that relationship now and he's, you know, paying all this attention to, you know, the outward appearance, you know, part of that it could be that, you know, again, he's looking at a specific body type that may be attractive and or generally attractive. If what he's looking at is a version of you and you no longer look like that, I would say that, again, if you can make strides towards, you know, getting back into the gym or getting back on that health fit, that's one part of it. It doesn't answer the question altogether because, again, as you get older, there's certain things that you just can't control. It's about, again, some level of maturity on his part. It's Amen. About you also maintaining some sense of, you know, high self-esteem as it relates to how you take care of yourself and the things that you do to maintain, you know, your health and overall, you know, appearance. But bottom line, if he's looking elsewhere, you know, that's something that you may need to just check him about. If it appears that, again, you know, while he may have, you know, communicated to you perhaps, he may have, you know, changed in terms of his overall appeal to you because you've gained weight or there's certain things that are no longer the same, you know, that's a conversation to have. You know, the physical is a part of the relationship. It's not the relationship itself. So, again, while you do owe it to yourself for health reasons as well as your mate to do your best to maintain, you know, what it is that you started the relationship with in terms of just overall appearance, you also need to make sure that you're maintaining other components of the relationship to find out if this is not necessarily the core problem, but perhaps, you know, just an indicator of something more serious.
Amen. Amen. That was good, Mr. Donovan. I'm glad you said that. It could really be an indicator of something different.
Absolutely.
So that could just be the surface issue, not the root issue of that problem. That was good.
I see you saying amen to that, huh?
Amen.
Like
I
that right there?
That was a good comment. I'm telling you. Well, Mr. Donovan, I know I picked your brain. Is there anything that you want to share tonight? Anything at all? I know I gave you a topic, but maybe there was something that the Lord placed on your heart. Listen, this is what I want to share with my sister tonight. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever that may be. Go ahead. Take the time and share that tonight.
Let's run over like some of the things we talked about,
I'll kind of
go past that and into some other things. But you know, if you were to have like a checklist or of things that you want to just make sure that you know you use or at least that you consider in terms of you know what a man wants or what is he looking for, what are some of his expectations? You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, the first thing you want to do is you want to kill the male bashing stereotypes that you tend to have. And that society has created. You want to get rid of that. If you want to give someone a chance, give them a clean slate. It's hard to draw a picture of someone when you already have lines on the paper before y'all met. A man wants to be trusted. You know, he needs to feel relevant. You know, he needs to feel needed. He needs to, you know, to some extent, depending on the relationship again, but in most cases, he likes to feel, you know, like he's in control at some point. We love that, you know. Being respected, you know, showing some deference or overall in terms of, you know, obedience to some extent. Again, define obedience. Don't necessarily, you know, look at that as such an ugly word. Obedience is a great word because obedience there's a level of discipline in terms of, you know, how things are carried out after a plan has been put out there, the best plan, whatever that might be, and agreed on. So obedience is great. It's just, again, about making sure that you both are, have the same definition, and so when you go forward, you know, there's no differences there. Ladies need to be more vulnerable. You know, again, that superwoman thing, that's
Amen.
Life for TV. You know, stop being that, you know, I'm Every Woman stuff. I love that song too. Whitney did her thing on it, but the reality is that you need to make sure that you also show your vulnerabilities. If you're, you know, if you're this superwoman character and a man feels like you're impenetrable or you really don't need, you know, you really don't need a man, blah, 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 then guess what? You will be without a man then. You need to show that you're vulnerable so that he knows that he needs to be a gentleman. No need to be a gentleman if you're not vulnerable. I can just be whatever because you're whatever. So let's just understand that. A man needs to be, you know, needs to feel good. You got to make him feel good. You got to smile. You got to compliment him. You know, you got to show pride in your man. If you're proud of your man, then why aren't you, you know, smiling about it? You don't have to brag. I know women don't brag to other women about their man. That's okay. We all know about what that leads to sometimes. We don't need to be a part of that.
I do, Donovan.
Huh?
I brag, Donovan.
Well, that's good. That's good. But, you know, a lot of times women don't do that, and it's okay.
True.
Either way you do it, show pride in some way, shape, or form, you know, and understand the value of your man and let him know that you appreciate him. It could be something as simple as just you giving him a call or sending him a text real quick to say, you know what, just wanted you to know that I'm thinking about you and I appreciate you. A man in many ways, again, it depends on the man. He may want a woman that compliments him and not necessarily as someone that is, you know, an equal. So that's a challenge. But again, if you're the type of woman that's the kind of guy you like, just understand that. And what does that actually mean? It means that in many ways that, you know, you'll accent him, you'll be his cheerleader, you'll understand that, you know, he as a leader in terms of a professional and personal sense, you know, and what your role is. So again, for that kind of traditionalist, if that's the person, you know, that's the kind of guy you like, just understand what that means. And being his equal kind of leads to some level of competition or rivalry, and that can get a little ugly because at some point, if you are earning more or if you are stronger in certain areas, then you may want to be, you know, you want to be concerned about the person that they're with and whether or not that's really a good match. You may have the kind of tension and frustration overall because you're just with the wrong type of person. Confidence. Having confidence and not being, you know, overly whatever, but having confidence and feeling good about yourself, that's great. Approaching a relationship or approaching men with here's what you're not going to do and this is what I don't like, that just says baggage, baggage, baggage to a man. And what a man will say, you know what, next. I don't really necessarily feel like I have to go through this debate first, then get to know you. More than likely, I'm battling whatever it is that you haven't healed from in terms of past experiences. You know, we already talked about loyalty, support, understanding, all those great things, you know. But also, what about, you know, a man feeling successful because he's with you? So, again, it may speak a little bit to you complimenting him. It may speak a little bit to you being a compliment to him. But, again, a man needs to feel like if he's with you, that he's doing it. He's making it happen. That,
amen.
You know, again, that you are that other component to his life that makes it, you know, over the top, that takes it over the top. We talked about sex. Bring it, you know. Be diverse in terms of your approach. Have a conversation, you know, let loose of the reins, so to speak, and be that person that has more energy and is, you know, focused on, you know, pleasing and not necessarily just on, okay, making sure that you meet the bare quota or something like that. Get to know yourself and get to know him and see, you know, the different combinations of things and have fun. You know, don't be so, you know, a lot of times it's such a taboo topic, but, you know, be willing to have fun. Be willing to laugh at yourself. Be willing to laugh at him and just make sure that, again, it's something that's unique to your, you know, your union. You know, again, chemistry is huge because why? The element that you are and the element that he is makes something unique into itself. Celebrate that uniqueness in everything you do, not just physically, but also mentally and spiritually. And then that unique combination will be hard to rival as he interacts with other people. And of course, you want all these things. Just make sure that you're tuning in. Remember that, you know, your car gets a tune-up. You know, your body gets a tune-up. You know, your relationship needs to have a tune-up. So you got to tune in all the time and get a tune-up all the time. You need to check on the status of things. You know, how are you all doing? What's changed? Anything new? What needs to be filled up again? What do you need a refill on? You know, take a retreat, quality time. The things that, again, you know, create an institution as opposed to an event. So I know I said a whole lot, but, again, you know, you need to function in these relationships with a level of fearlessness, because fear usually is a combination of, you know, past experiences mixed in with what you may see as future experiences that are negative, and you need not to do that. Instead, change that whole thing that you have called fear and put in more faith. Faith in the fact that, you know, you are a great individual, you bring some great things to the table, and also you're not done. You're a work that is still under construction, and you have a lot more to continue to learn, a lot more to continue to receive. And if you put yourself out there as an open vessel, willing to receive, willing to understand, willing to mold and modify yourself with the spirit of continuous improvement, you'll make yourself unique to anyone that you meet. Why? Because not enough of us are doing it. So that's all I can pretty much say. I know that was my 80 bars of power, but, you know, I just wanted to kind of just recap all the stuff that was floating around from the time that you initially asked me the question.
Amen. Amen. And a nice recap it was. What'd you say? You had to take a breather on that one.
Yeah. You know, I felt like I needed some albuterol or something. I felt like I was asthmatic. Oh, man.
Well, listen, you have been such a blessing to my life in general, but also it's a blessing having you on the broadcast tonight to share some things that we as women need to know. And like I said, what better person to tell us than a man, okay? Yes,
thank
like you.
You
said, wisdom, women, lots of wisdom out there that women have, but like I said, what better person to tell us than a man as to what a man wants and what a man needs. So I want to thank you so much for joining me tonight. Hopefully you'll come on again, because I think we do need to explore the intimacy topic a little bit more, because inquiring minds want to know.
No problem. No problem. Listen, you let me know, and, you know, we'll coordinate schedules, and it's been a pleasure on my part. And, you know, again, if there's anything I can do, if you're having some future, you know, chat sessions or something in the future where, you know, you guys are coming together, I'd be more than happy to, you know, to be a part of the event, the situation, the experience.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Well, Donovan, did you want to, what if somebody needs a little advice? Did you want to give them an email they can contact?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, they can reach out to me via email at donovanswest@gmail.com. That's DonVanS as in Sam West @gmail.com. What they can also do is on Facebook, you can just inbox me, send me a message, Donovan S. West. So you can do that on Facebook. Those are good ways. If you want to, you know, leave me your information, I'll reach out to you. I'll call you or email you back. But those are a couple of good ways to get back to me. And I look forward to being of service.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank those listeners that have been listening in tonight live or via the archive. Thank you so much for listening in. Such an encouragement to me, and I hope this message has been an encouragement to you. I want to thank my online chatter tonight, California Living. Definitely, brother, you listening in every week is such a blessing to me. So thank you so much for joining us and sharing your feedback that you have on the topic each week. With that being said, again, want to thank you so much for joining us each and every Friday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transparency in Christ. Next week will be a rebroadcast. We'll be having real talk with real wives who love Jesus out of my home in an intimate setting. We're having Reverend Renee Morrow join us just so that we can talk about some things that we're going through as wives, get some of that wisdom, all those questions that you've been afraid to ask. Let's get some godly wisdom about it. And it's time to move forward. It is time to move forward. So if you'd like to attend, please reach out to me via email at transparencyinchrist@gmail.com. And again, transparencyinchrist
at gmail.com, or like us on Facebook. And again, inbox me or post a comment. Talisha, listen, I would love to come. Definitely going to be a night where the Lord will truly, I'm believing God for healing, believing God for deliverance, and believing God for restored marriages in Jesus' name. So, again, thank you so much for listening and join in next week for a rebroadcast of Real Talk with Real Women Who Love Jesus. And we'll be on live the following week, and we'll be talking about marriage and how to do things according to the Word of God. Thanks again, Donovan, for joining us tonight. I want to leave you guys with some, again, just a song to encourage you, and it's called God's Greatest Gift by Kelly Williams and Chris Willis. God bless you.
I can't believe the love I see deep in your eyes. From this day on, I promise to stay by your side.
I am so amazed to be the one that you adore. How could for any more?
And I know heaven has blessed me with you. You are my miracle, so precious and true. And I know heaven is missing an angel or two, because God's greatest gift to me is you.
March 21st, live for Transparency in Christ. God bless you.